I wrote this some time ago, but here it is today, and it's more accurate today than it was back then. Let me read it. Most of us are probably not aware of how secular our society has become. In a recent survey in Vancouver, 41% of the people questioned said they had no Christian affiliation. When asked if they were Protestant or Catholic or evangelical, etc., or if their parents were, they either didn't know or didn't care. It was a non-issue. The growth of secularism is the fastest growing segment of our culture. Now, take me to remember that. This group doesn't belong to a church and has no desire or need to find one. In fact, in many cases, organized religion is seen as something quite negative. How times have changed in the last 50 years. 170,000, I'm not quite sure of that. There might be 180,000 or 175. I wouldn't die for that, but I think it's somewhere in there. 170,000 people call the North Shore home, but less than 3% attend church of any kind on a given Sunday. Now, you do the math on that. Somebody says, no, there's got to be a lot more people than that. Well, add up the people at North Shore Alliance and Hillside Baptist and Westland Baptist and Delbrook Baptist and just keep adding a few more, Deep Cove Alliance, and there's others, and you've got less than 3%. And let's say even at 5%, that would be something, but I don't think it comes close to that. In terms of a life-giving church, less than 3% go to a life-giving church. What a challenge this is for us as a church. An entire generation of young people are growing up without knowing about God's love or Christ's death or what it means to be born again. Let the Lord stir your heart afresh to pray that God will visit our community with a heaven-sent Holy Spirit revival. Pray much and reach out in love to those around you. People need the Lord, even if they don't know that they need the Lord. Well, there we are today. It's 2011. It's October. Christmas will be here again. Easter will come soon. Another year will come and go, but here we are, wondering and praying that God somehow would use us in this great adventure of serving Him and knowing Him and doing His purposes, and that somehow, some way, we could become people of influence. People of influence. By the way, I did need to put an apology here. I said in one of the services that I thought I would preach on being single and living the adventure. The more I got into it, it needs a bit more research from my end and from some of the singles that talk to me. So he says, yeah, you married people all sound the same when you're talking about how to love the Lord and serve the Lord being single. He said it'd be a lot easier if I was speaking from your perspective. So I still want to do that, but I'm going to move it up a couple of Sundays to give it a better shot of accuracy as to how people are thinking and feeling. But today, becoming a person of influence, boy, that's a great desire of my heart. And it always has been for many, many years, because people have influenced me. And I would long to do the same kind of influencing that they've done in my life, only mine in the life of others. I'm grateful for the influencer, Sammy Sherard, who passed away not that long ago. Went door to door, knocking on our doors, and they opened the door to him. They didn't like him. My parents didn't like him at all. But I liked him fine, and I'm grateful to him forever because he told me that God had a plan for my life and that Jesus died for me, that I could be born again. So as a young teenager, I accepted that as truth, and it's made an absolute, complete, and total, and unbelievable effect on my life. Changed everything. Changed that knock on the door was a knock in my heart. And so what an influence. And I guess maybe my parents were afraid of that influence, that I would be influenced by this fellow, this Bible thumper. So that's how they saw him anyway. So I'm grateful for that. But you know, I think back, the years go on, and there was people come and go. I'm grateful for a church. Even after I got saved, it was far from being perfect. It was anything but, in some ways. But nevertheless, I learned about the Christian faith from those people, not little holy roller churches that many called it. It wasn't the status church. If you wanted to be the status church, you would have gone to the United Church. If you have any sense of decency at all, you would have been at the United Church as fast as you could get there, because that was what people did, right? That's what they did. That's where they went, not that church. My mother wrote, her brother wrote from England and said, that church that your children are going to, is it high church or low church? My mother wrote back and said, it's low church, very low church, of a gospel hall variety. Oh, a gospel hall, right? We wouldn't want that, would we? Anyway, I remember moving to Winnipeg, and as it turned out, I ended up staying with a family by the name of Dave and Joyce Johnson. And I lived with them. You know how you tell if somebody's influenced your life? Because I remember praying many, many times, Lord, I pray that you would make me like them. That's how they lived the Christian life before me. And I saw, they lived right in the house. The care, the laughter, the fun, the scriptures that flowed so naturally from especially Dave's heart. And I don't, to this day, if they're very much alive, they live in Calgary, I'm sure they would say, what's he talking about? I don't remember being that much. I'm sure they don't remember any influence that I was in that they were in my life, except that I know. And so I'm praying that somebody says, God, please make me like Owen. See what I'm saying? These are influencers. We're called in a world where 41% don't know what their family background is. They don't even know if they had a religion or even care if they had a religion. They're not looking for church. They're not planning on going to church. They don't even care about this particular discussion that we're having. They have no interest in it, at least seemingly. So that's what we're called to be, influencers in that kind of a setting. Well, I'm grateful for faithful pastors, too, who spoke into my life and influenced me a lot. I'm grateful for Art Shepherd and Ed Bradley. Grateful for those people. And I'm grateful for opportunities to serve that they gave me and believed in me. I was kind of the youth pastor, I guess, of this one church that Brother Bradley was a part of. But I really was. There was no title. There was nothing. It was just, they didn't have, because mostly it was, especially at a midweek service, it would have been mostly old people. And they were really, 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 really old people. And so I remember complaining about that. I say that because it's relative, right? Some people, you mean like you, yeah. But no, even way older than that. But I remember Brother Bradley saying, well, if you go find some young people, then if you need some young people. Anyway, to make a long story short, that became a little bit of a revival. There was about 35 or 40 kids showing up at the Sunday night service. And because other people were influencing me and I was influencing other people. So on it goes down through my whole life. And I can think of even being at the Bible School of Destin many, many years later. But the impact of some key people that believed in me influenced me gigantically. I think of Willard Mitchell. Boy, it was huge. He'd be embarrassed. He'd be blushing right now if he was sitting in this service. But I would say that again and again and again as he took an interest in my life and thus spoke stuff into me, right? Without trying to. I don't even know if he thought about it, but he just did it. And again, I'm grateful. Now, here's the thing. There are people who have been in my life that I know that they don't think that they made it. In fact, I think the impact we make is better if we don't know we're making it. Right? It's better we don't know that we're making it. Because once we know, then we're trying too hard. But in the light of that, I thought, of all the people, think about it. How did you get to where you are right now? See, so for me, some of the influencers, I've never met them because they're authors. Howard Hendricks has affected me. I think he's still alive. Lauren Pritchard has affected me hugely in my thinking. There's been others, other writers especially. You think back to the books that you have read and I've read, and I said, that book was a really good book. At that point in my life, it really touched me and influenced my life. So when I put this together, I thought, well, if we're going to become a person of influence, what are the ingredients of that? Especially when the culture is all going that way and we're going this way. It's counterculture. Whatever we do to influence people for the kingdom of God, we don't have the support of the community. We're starting afresh. We're in Acts chapter 29. No longer is there a clergy guy at the center. It used to be, you know, the pastor, well, that was important. Even go to England, you can see that the parish was the spiral was the center of the community. And the parish council met in that area there. The church was central to it. But now the man of the cloth, he used to call the man of the cloth, that he's not important to anything. He's even suspect. And nobody under 30 trusts institutions. So we don't have the help of the church. So we say, well, you know, and we don't have the help of Scripture in the sense that that people, they don't believe. So we say, well, the Bible says, we raise it, the Bible says, and everybody says to you. Doesn't say anything to me. That's your book. That's not my book. It has no authority whatsoever to me. And so now our best shot was that Scripture, right? But they don't even believe the Bible. And they haven't got a background in it, even if they did. So we're really, it's quite a struggle. And yet, when you go back 2,000 years ago, Jesus had 12 people, changed the whole world. And I just want to be in that. See, I don't want to be, when Jesus comes, I don't want to be in a cave in Creston, B.C., waiting for the Antichrist, hoping that Jesus comes before the Antichrist, right? I want to be assaulting the gates of heaven when Jesus comes. I want to be in the battle. I want to be an influencer. And see, the good news about this is that if you're sitting here, your life can be a phenomenal influence. That people will look back and say, that person played a key part in my development, in my coming to the Lord, or my growing in the Lord. So I wrote some things down and I thought would be helpful. I hope it's helpful. It is helpful to me to think about it and to give God thanks for the people that he brought into my life and that are still alive, and that I too want to be invited in somebody else's life and affect them. So I know, I remember one time there was this fellow that had that I knew, but I wasn't part of him or anything, but I knew him. And the people he influenced, he influenced them by pressure. Like, he was very harsh, and they could never miss a meeting, and they had to, there was sort of so much he pressured them. You know what that's like? He pressured them to do things. And as long as he was around, they did it. But when he wasn't around, they didn't do it. So I think it's one thing is very clear to make. What is God's part of this influencing thing? And what is my part? Well, how does that work? So if you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it gives us some really good insight. What then is Apollos? What then is Paul? Servants through whom you believed. Right? You believed through them. As the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Paul says, Apollos watered, and here's the phrase, God gave the growth. God, you see, you cannot cause anybody to open their heart. That's where we're limited on this thing. We just don't have that influence. We can plant, we can water, but God must give the growth. So neither he who plants or he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. So if you feel me pressuring you on any level, if we feel each other pressuring each other to, you know, be more, try more, read more, pray more, come to those meetings more, whatever else it would be, as good as that intention might be, that's God's part, is to make somebody. Some people just aren't ready, right? If you're going to disciple them, they're just not ready to go on this great adventure. Maybe a later time they will, but right now they don't and they aren't. And I must be careful not to confuse my part. My part is not to try and force somebody into something. We do a lot of that. Because I'm concerned, right? They're going the wrong way, so somebody's got to do something. And so we lecture and we pressure and we read verses and we tell them they shouldn't be doing this. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But all I'm saying is God's part is to cause people to open their hearts and to grow. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you just turn back a couple of pages, verse 27 to verse 29, how helpful is this? For consider your calling, brothers, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards, not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. See, whatever else you do, they could never be your disciples. They're always the Lord's disciples. Keep that really clear. Don't over-disciple. You know, where we're making too many phone calls, too much pressure. We're trying to do stuff. And, you know, it can be tight with our spouses. You know, trying to win your spouse. And they just get more hardened and more hardened. Even though that you mean well, oftentimes we're part of the problem. Because we want something so bad, we've confused. So all of a sudden now, I'm not the caregiver, I'm the cure giver. And God is the cure giver, I'm the caregiver. My job and your job is to care about people. And God's job is to open their heart and that he would bring them to himself. But that's a huge thing to keep in mind. So the point here is that there can't be any boasting. He says, God says, I just chose unusual things and unlikely things so that nobody might boast in the presence of God. It was a God thing. The fact that I am where I am is a God thing. The thing of where you are, where you are in your life right now, it's a God thing. God will use people. Odd people, different people in your life, but for the most part, it was the Lord. And that's how it ought to be. So what's our part? What is our part? How do I can be, if I want to be part of this discipleship thing and this living the adventure of serving the Lord, what do I do? Well, I wrote down several things that I think you see it in Scripture. What did Paul do? What was his approach to this stuff? So first of all is to pray. You know, if you see somebody in your life that you think God's going to use you, you pray for that person and you pray for yourself that the Lord will use you. So look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness. So he says, listen, I'm not making this up. God's my witness. Whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing, God is my witness, that without ceasing, I make mention of you in my prayers. That is, whoever we meet that we feel that maybe we could be an influence, this is a matter of prayer more than it is pressure, more than it is trying to convince them, trying to coerce them, trying to get them to church. If she was here, I would say this. So we have a neighbor, and I told her, I said, you know, I'm trying to get you into the church. You know that. Yeah, she says, I know that. So now we have this thing. She'll say, how was church? And I said, well, it'd be better if you were there. But I said, there are some good-looking guys there. And so that's my latest thing about the good-looking guy thing, right? So I said, you might want to come and check it out. And of course, she said, do you have drums? I said, I wouldn't mind practicing on playing some drums. So anyway, if she ever comes, I'll have her stand. And that's probably why she hasn't come. But you know, I'm glad it's moved to that realm because we really care about her. We care a lot about her. And care what happens in her life. And but listen, you know, if you're the religious kooky person that they see you coming, they slip inside their house again because they don't want to talk with you. Because here you come again, you know, you got tracts in your pocket and you got your Bible under your arm and you're going to go and talk. And that's probably why not many people are influenced by us, because we try too hard and we come across like we're proselytizing. And that just will never, ever, we need to pray. And I know, and you know, if somebody's heart's going to be open, it's because they pray. And I am sure that the people, even as a child, I'm sure that Sammy Sherrard prayed for me often, 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 and for my sister. And the people who influenced me since then, of course, told me, they said, you know, I was praying for you, Owen, that you'd make the right choices and the right decisions. Like, wow, so grateful for that, so thankful. So we pray without ceasing. 1 Corinthians 1:4, he says, I give thanks always, always giving thanks for you. Really, he's giving God thanks. So powerful. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. He says, every prayer of mine. Well, no, you mean most of them. No, everyone. And he says that to the Romans. He says that to the Corinthian Christians. And he says it to the Christians at Philippi. He said, every prayer of mine, I thank God for you. So we're giving God thanks for that neighbor. You know, we're just praising him and thanking him. And my job is not to lecture him that he smokes too much or that he drinks too much or that he fools around too much. That's not our job. That's not what we're called to do. we're called to love people and gently point them to the Savior without driving them away, and to always believing that there's a time for things and a time not to be, and sometimes it requires more prayer. But the point is, our part is always to pray. Always to pray. And many times we have failed, I think, in our witness because we didn't pray. We tried to, you know, and we just asked too much too soon, and we forgot how the church is not, it's kind of scary to people, right? And they just don't do that. So it's quite a challenge. It's a real challenge. But I know that one thing, that the people that I want to influence, I know I need to be thanking God every day for them. Say, Lord, I bring them to you again. Let there be something powerful happen in their lives. Now, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. There's a verse in here that I found very good. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I think the second thing that we can do is proper use of the scriptures in somebody's life, both as a Christian, if you're influencing a Christian, or if you're influencing somebody that's a pre-believer that just isn't there yet. Verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. This is the various things that can happen. Profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Thinking back of David Joyce Johnson, I can remember I'd see him with his Bible, and he's reading his Bible. But when we got talking, he'd say, "Oh, yeah, no, I found this great verse on. I thought you might share this to you. It's really listen. He's reading. He's all excited. You know, I maybe just sat there blankly looking at him, but that influenced me. His interest in the scriptures, as he was just saying how what he had read, and so in many ways, he was. There could be a gentle rebuke. He said, well, you know, the scriptures have something to say about that. And is it, rather than saying, you are bad, he's just saying, the scriptures have a lot to say about this. Are you familiar with that verse? And, you know, you're teaching somebody, you're rebuking them, you're counseling them, you're encouraging them, you're somehow involved in some kind of training process here, but you don't know why. But I find this wherever people kind of share the scriptures that God's made real, boy, that atmosphere, people's lives, they change. They change in that kind of an atmosphere. I find I change. I'm trying to think of the people that influenced me. Again, they don't know that they did, but they were using Scripture, and not as a club, but they were using Scripture to help me in my walk with the Lord, and I'm very, very, very grateful. And I like to think that the conversations that I've had with many of you and you with me is that would be that we just talked about something that the Lord had shown us. And we're saying, well, that's really interesting. Yeah, and I was reading this and using the scripture as a means of growth without it. So in other words, we don't know when the class starts, or we don't know when it ends. It's just happening all the time. And that's at Deuteronomy 6. He says, when you sit down, when you go by the way, you talk of these things and you teach these things. And so later that when your kids say, what's the meaning of this? He says, you're able to tell them because you've been talking and sharing and talking and sharing. But it didn't have a formal note to it. It's very informal. And that's how it was very powerful and very, very helpful. So that's to teach. I think the third thing that we have to do is that to remain absolutely dependent on the Lord and the Holy Spirit, that every day we commit ourselves to Him and we trust Him and we bless the Lord every day. Say, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. Remind yourself every day, without Him, you can do nothing. You're going to be a person of influence. It's going to be the Lord working through you, so you must remain dependent. And I wrote a little statement here because I believe this to be absolutely true. All ministry comes from the overflow of our relationship to God. It doesn't, in other words, we don't work in a vacuum. We make ourselves available to God, but it comes from the overflow. It's not, you see, I don't even know how to put it entirely, except to say this. You can't export what you don't possess. What's ever real in your heart, if it's real in your heart, it'll be real to somebody else. If it's powerful to you, it'll be powerful to somebody else. But I remain dependent, knowing that as I meet with the Lord, and isn't that a scene? By the way, some of us were at Barry Pegg's birthday yesterday out in Chilliwack. George and Betty were there. And I thought one of the classiest comments that could have been made was that Budil said that every single day that she gets up, she said, "There's Barry." He's 70, by the way. Who knew, eh? He said, "There is Barry with a candle lit and his Bible open." He said, "Every day of our 22 years together, there he was." He says, "There he is reading the scriptures." And she had tears running down. She says, the value of that to her. And here is this quiet little thing that's going on. So whatever overflow has come from, that's come from his relationship to God. And they gave praise together for God's faithfulness to them. So you can't export what you don't possess. So our job is to say, "Lord, I just need to be increasingly dependent on you every day, leaning on you, looking to you." Now, some of you might meet the Lord early morning. Like Val gets up really, really early. And I don't get up there early, but I like nighttime I like daytime too. But whatever it is, you have to be alone with the Lord, dependent on him, drawing strength from him to be an influencer. Right? This thing is, it's uphill. It's bumpy all the way. Whoever we influence, it's gonna be because our lives were deep in the things of the Lord, and that it overflowed from us. That we were, the presence of Jesus is so real to us that we actually can hardly not talk about it. Right? We can hardly not talk about it. But we would be sensitive to the Lord because we've been alone with the Lord. So that's to be utterly, totally, completely dependent, as much as you know, and to back away when you sense that you're trying too hard. How many have tried too hard? Yeah, I've done that too much. Just trying to influence people far too much with my own strength or my own personality, and it can't work that way. Just can't. It has to be the Lord. Dependent on the Lord for all. The ministry comes from the overflow of a relationship to God. And in other words, you can't minister if you're not growing. You just can't. And by the way, if you are growing today, you will be changing tomorrow. You'll be impacting tomorrow. And if you're not changing today, if you're not growing today, you're not going to be impacting tomorrow. So it's whatever's happening today will determine the days ahead for us. So number D, to make yourself worth following. See, that's the, if somebody's going to follow us, somebody's going to take Jesus seriously because of our lives, because of this adventure that we're on, then to make ourselves worth following. Last week, as I said, would you like to be married to me? Remember, that was the question. You ask your spouse, what's it like to be married to me? I would have loved to have been following people home after that last Sunday. That would have been, I'm sure there were arguments all the way home. I'm sure there were. But to make yourself worth following, I find that deeply convicting. Because that's what I want, but I don't know if it's always truth of my life. Don't know if it actually happens as much as it would, as I'd like it to be. That somebody would say, that person, there's something about them that I want to have what they have. I think that's a very, very powerful thing. 1 Corinthians 11:1, this is a earth-shaking verse. Be imitators of me. What? Yeah. Be imitators of me, even as I am of Christ. Said, I'm imitating myself after Jesus. Now I want you to imitate yourself after me. Now, I don't think that was some type of ego problem he had. I just think that here's a guy that was worth, he said, I'm worthwhile following because I'm flat out in the direction I'm going. I'm not here today and not tomorrow. I'm going the long distance on this thing. I'm never going to back up on this. I'm never going to change my mind. I'm never going to stop proclaiming this book. I'm never going to stop praying for you. You see, this is the kind of a thing. He says, so you can follow me, and together we'll serve the Lord. But to be worthwhile to follow. See, there are some people that aren't worth following. One is because their life is not consistent. Again, we're not talking about perfection. Nobody gets perfection on this thing. You just get, the most you can get is process. But if you're going to be an imitator, if somebody's going to imitate, now wouldn't it be something that this year, see, there's people that we appreciate, right, and we like, and they influence us, and for many reasons. But to follow them in their walk with God, folks, this is big stuff. You see, if we've got, here it is, 170,000 people, and I know we're only one church of a number of churches, but even on Tuesday, we were starting up the pastor's prayer meeting again for the fall, and we were meeting in here because we had a flood downstairs, and it's like the year, you know, every year is the year of the flood in this church. Well, we need new carpet already, you know? Anyway, so we were moving up here, but you know, it was quite a thing. We were praying. The Lions guy, the Baptist guy, all of us were there. We were praying for the church on the North Shore. And really what we were praying was this, is that somehow that God would use us for his glory, knowing that there's 170,000 people that, for the most part, are not that interested. And so for you to be worthwhile to follow, that they somehow are attracted to you. See, I'm suggesting that there need to be a beauty about us. There's something about us that is worthwhile to people and say, you know, I see something in you. I see you're different. I was saying about Barry yesterday that he's the kind of a guy you could leave your wife, your wallet, and your reputation on the nightstand and it'd all be there in the morning. Right? He was he's absolute authentic. I mean, he's absolutely honest and genuine. And everybody knows that. And everybody knows that about him. This made me think of that, but I thought that's powerful. That's powerful. So to make ourselves attractive, to adorn the gospel with lovely lives. This thing can't seem grim, right? This has got to be there's got to be something to say, boy, it's just, you sparkle. You people sparkle. There's something about your view of life. You know, you're not just, it's always not no. But it's yes, 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 right? Yes, yes, yes. Not no, 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 no. Yes, yes, yes. That people say, wow, I don't like your stand on this or your view on that, but there's something about your life that's worthwhile following. And we should pray about that together. Today we should pray about that. That somehow that say, there's something attractive that drew me, first of all, to the messenger, secondly to the book, and thirdly to the message. But there's that thing that I fell in love, first of all, with the person. And then I found out about their Savior. Then I found out about what they believe. But to have that whole thing of making yourself worthwhile following is our calling. That's what we're supposed to do. So Paul said, this is where I'm going. I'd like you to follow. And people followed. And we still, what Paul says matters to us. Number E, in an attitude, we're living for eternity. Living for eternity, not for this life only. And again, that is, this is big, right? Living for eternity. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Let me get over there. Chapter 4 and verse 16. Oh, yeah, here we are. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, yeah, isn't that the truth? Our inner self is being renewed day by day. That's why, as seniors, those of you that are seniors, you don't really retire. Because even though the outer may be affecting, the inner is being renewed day by day. By this light, I was telling yesterday to somebody, they were asking me if I knew Bob Birch, and I said, yeah, I'd met him, but I didn't really know him very well. He passed away a while back. But I remember, where Lillian is seated, we were at a gathering here. We were sponsoring something, but anyway, he was where Lillian is sitting. That's where Bob Birch was, but I didn't know it was Bob Birch. I saw this guy, looks like he should get saved. He was praying, he's always praying. But anyway, I saw that guy. I said, I wonder who that old guy is over there in the corner. Anyway, they finally said, ladies and gentlemen, we're glad tonight to have our keynote speaker is Reverend Bob Birch. And so he'll come. It was him. So he walks up. And I said, oops. My discernment there is a little off. Thought the guy should get saved. He's the speaker. He probably thinks, I should get saved. But, you know, he was close to 90 then, I think. And he opened his mouth. boy, life just flowed. Just flowed. My hair was straight back. It's just, whoa, man. I couldn't think. I said, here, he just opened his mouth and powerfully ministered that night to us. And I think because the outward man was there, the inner man is being renewed day by day, but this momentary light affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. Beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient.
Yeah.
But the things that are unseen are eternal. So we're trafficking in eternal things. Things that we can't see, but we're believing for, that these seeds that we're planting into this community and into people's lives, there is going to be some eternal fruit to it. I think, wouldn't it be great, you get to heaven, you find out that somebody is saved because you were just kind and friendly, and that drew them to go and search out something for themselves. I think that those are some of the things that we can just get excited about and dream about. So number F, make yourself, and this is where the rubber meets the road now on this thing, make yourself wholly available. Now, don't you love the English language? I wrote it out, holy, holy, holy. If you were learning English, that wouldn't make sense at all, how all three could be pronounced holy. But in our lives, when we come to the Lord, there's lots of holes. So it's holy, right? Full of holes. And then when the Lord comes into our heart, he begins to work on us, and we become wholly set apart for his eternal purposes. And yet, now at this point, for many of us, we make ourselves not just holy that way for the first sense, or holy for the second sense, but holy for the third sense. I am wholly yours. In other words, completely yours, Lord. So take the holes of my life, make me to have a disposition and a character that's holy and worthwhile following, and that I would be wholly available. I think this is all that we can trust and hope for in this church. Although I live beside the church, as I drive by and I think of all the people that have been meeting here and still will continue to meet here, going out into our community. And I thought, if we were all available to God, what would he do and what could he do? That's what excites me. What would happen if I really took this thing seriously and said, Lord, I'm going to follow you like never before. I want to influence people because that's the only thing that makes sense to me. In a world that's passing away. And this world is passing away. Be sure of that. You know that you know that. And that brings me, of course, to G and to H. I think that when Jesus said that if you follow me, he said there'll be do greater things will you do than what I do. I think then that's number one. There was the purity of Jesus, the character or the being. Right? That we must be my character. Character is everything in this thing we're talking about. It's everything. And secondly, that I would grow in power. And that has to do with ministry or doing. So greater things will we do than Jesus did. As long as we have the character of Jesus, then we have the ministry of Jesus and the doing of Jesus. And so I want to purity and I want power. Purity and power, those two things. As we make ourselves wholly available to the Lord, this generation that we called ourselves to. We got to, you know, there's some certain things along the road you have to keep in mind. Number one, don't take yourself too seriously. Lighten up. Many of you could lighten up a lot. Why? You need to laugh more. You need to laugh at yourself more and take the Lord more serious than you've ever taken him. That's the thing. So that we're not called to, we're not going to Creston with that bag of groceries that I was talking about, but we're going to be here in the community, loving on people, wondering who God's going to bring into our life next, right? Who we can influence, who we can somehow just, you know, because some of the things, people are just in shortly. They're in, they drift in, we have some encounters, we get to know them a little bit, and then we're thinking they might stay, but all of a sudden they've gone. But listen, those prayers that we prayed for them will travel on. Wherever they go, it won't be. And they may not even remember it was you that was the one that really pushed them the most to the kingdom. But it was. And later that will, on heaven, when we get to heaven, we know that's going to be, it's going to be a powerful, wonderful, wonderful thing. So we say, Lord, do I have anything laid up in heaven? People that said, I'm here because of Marcel. I'm here because of June. I'm here because of Richard. I'm here because of their life, their care made me think that maybe Christianity was the best route to go. You see, that's what we're persuading people, right? We persuade them to consider Christ as the answer. But there must be a purity, there must be a power, and we must make ourselves wholly available, because you never know when you're called onto the stage. You know, we just have that little moment on stage, you know, where you do your thing and it's over. But I'll tell you, when you did that thing well, that you're influencing people right up to the day of your death, right up to the day when the trumpet sounds, when Jesus comes, there you are, just loving on people, influencing them, living the life, and without repeating myself, but to pray, to teach, to remain dependent, to make yourself a worthwhile follower, and to make yourself wholly available to the Lord. I don't know any other way. There's no secret to this thing. If people come to know Christ, well, that's the greatest thing that'll ever happen to us, right? That's what we want to pray about, that people would come to know the Savior that we have just, we've been blown away by him. He's so delicious, so worthwhile following that I want to follow him, but I want to bring a bunch of people following me. And I'm not talking about even my role as a pastor, but as a person, to be a great influencer. See, many of you, I would love to introduce you to other people, because I said I think they would really be impressed with you. The genuineness, the care, the realness. And isn't that what it ought to be? Just say, my church is growing towards Jesus so much that I can bring my friends to that church, and they're not going to be driven away by a bunch of kooky people, odd people, right? But these are attractive people. These are people who are alive with life. And that I want you, in other words, I want you to meet these people, because if you do, you're going to sense something good about them. And thus they might end up in the kingdom of God because of what we do. But remember, our part is to do this, what I mentioned. God's part is to make it happen. So I'd like you to stand with me if you would. I think it would be true that most of you, no, maybe not most, that's too strong a word, that many of you have a kind of a low self-esteem, and it affects you this way, that you think that there's probably somebody more suited to this message than you, that you can't picture yourself being a great influencer, and you would give me three reasons why. But I don't think it works like that. I think how it works is that Christ lives in each one of us, and this type of personality that you have is perfect for this. There are people that my wife knows that they really like her. I'm okay, but they really like her because they relate to her. And what I'm saying is, because I can say, well, I'm not that kind of a person. I'm not that outgoing. It's got nothing to do with being outgoing. Is it being everything being wholly available? And then if God brings somebody in your life, to realize they've come in my life for me to influence. I've got to pray. I have the word in my heart. I've got to be close to the Lord so that they see Jesus. Right? Not in perfection, but in substance. And it's a very powerful, powerful thing. And I want to pray for you, for us here today. Because if this thing is this, to me, as the road gets darker and darker, the light gets brighter and brighter. So let your light shine among men. Right? This is what we want. Somehow that they would see our good works. We'll glorify our God in heaven. But that's the work of the Lord. So I would love to pray for you today that God will use you like you've never, ever, ever been used before. Just humbly showing up at the right time, the right place, doing your thing. We sense as a church that we're entering another era, another moment, that it's going to be a little different thing, some things that we're planning on that... to make our church more effective. There's all kinds of things that we're doing that we could do better to make the church more effective for Christ. I'm not talking about scalping for Jesus. I'm talking about just positioning. You know how in your own life, you have to position yourself for success, right? There's things you do to position yourself for success. And this, as a church, we're trying to position ourselves for success, that we can reach the most amount of people and have systems in place that assist us in that. And that's our job. But as individuals, if you will link hands in your heart, link hands with all that and say, God, I want to be an influencer. Could be in a young person's life. Could be one of our teens. Could be a young adult. Could be a senior. Could be anybody. Could be a couple. But God's going to use you in their life. And some may be already saved. Some may would not be Christians yet. But God's going to use you. Somebody could walk in that door, and the only person they meet is you. And that touches them. And say, I met Norma Bean. And they said, I really seemed like a very nice, genuine person. I'd like to meet her again. And we said, come next week. She always comes. Right? You see what I'm saying, how this thing works. This is just, and all of a sudden, Norma's got a new friend that she's befriended in the back of the church, and that God would use her in that person's life. Pray with me, please. Lord, we say as our prayer, here I am, Lord, your servant. Make me wholly available today, that my life might significantly impact someone for your kingdom purposes. Lord, I can't stand the thought that I live my life without influencing people for Christ. It's intolerable to me. And yet I can't do more than what you want to do, Lord. So, Father, I make myself available with my brothers and my sisters here today. Speak deeply to us, Jesus. Cause us to be highly attractive, that people will sense our laughter is not through our teeth, but from our heart. That our handshake and our genuineness is not just a front, but that there would be something genuine that would attract someone to you, Lord, the glorious one. I pray, Lord, that you would stretch forth your hand even here today. Touch each one of us. Touch that person who says, I don't think I could be, I'm that effective in this. Lord, we know, we know that that's not true. Lord, I thank you for the people that have stepped into my life. Will you bless them today? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for divine moments. Thank you for your hand upon us. Thank you, Lord, in a world that the community that we live in is moving away from you. Lord, we want to pursue men and women for Christ. We thank you, Lord. Lord, the traps that we set will be traps of love. Hearts that listen. God, thank you for Valley Church. Thank you for what's going to be happening in September, October, November, December, January, right into the new year. We're believing you, Lord, for great things. And we trust you. Lord, thank you for your part and our part. Help me not to get it confused, as I so often do. Lord, we want to be caregivers, and you're the cure giver. We can't save anybody or direct anybody. It must be by you. So thank you. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being here today. I invite you to come out. It's a sunny, you won't get many of these. Mark down, I said this. You won't get many bright sunny days here from here on in, but here is one of them. So hope you can join us on the patio. God bless you. If you need some prayer, there will be a prayer person here at the front if you need some prayer here this morning. God bless.